Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, Rian Johnson requested a change to The Force Awakens, and it's confirmed! Luke is, or maybe isn't, the Last Jedi, and a new Star Wars series is coming. Well, sort of. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I am your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us. Episode 280, that's hard to believe. It's amazing. I'm the host for this particular week's podcast, and we've got a great show lined up for you as always. Let's get it started right now. Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report. So glad to have you with us, as always. So much to talk about. I mean, I don't even know how we're going to get into it, but I know one way we're going to do it. We're going to do it with Mr. Mark Herleman. What's going on, Mark?
Oh, not much. Sitting in my studio, smelling the paint, still drying.
Oh, okay. I was like, do you have like a pail of it that you're just like, is this how you suffer through the shows now?
No, I've been so deep in reconstructing and stuff. I've been using stains and dry lock paints.
For those of you guys who don't follow Mark's Facebook page, which might be a fair number, which you should, by the way, if you don't, you've been remodeling, right?
Yes, indeed. I've been. There were two big shelves when I moved in here, and there was a space between the two that never quite really worked. I had a bookshelf that I converted to hold comic boxes for a while that worked, but then I moved that, and I'm just like, it's been this big gaping hole in my collection. You know, I'm like, I've got all this stuff on shelves that are stacked three deep and stuff. And I'm like, I need more shelving. So I was looking at some of the scrap wood that I had lying around, and I was like, you know, I've got enough here. I could build shelves to span the gap. And I did it.
And
Jabba
did it.
Has a place to go.
Just like that. It's looking great, man, too. I love the work you've put in into really getting it displayed nicely.
Thank you.
Well, I've poked fun here and there, occasionally, at collectors and, well, not collectors, but the institution of Star Wars collecting as it has developed today. But I will say this, sir, you have actually transcended one of the greatest sins of collecting that I've noticed. And that is when you actually just, it's all in a box somewhere. At least you have it really nicely displayed on all these shelves. You can see it and interact with it. And I'm sure, like, if people come and visit, you can tell the stories of when you got this thing or when you read that thing. So, yeah.
This is true. And I was a victim of that sin for quite a while there when we lost our house and stuff and we were homeless. All the stuff was in the storage unit. That was rough. Like, I had to pick, like, four or five things that were staying out and everything else went away. I was like, oh man, I hope it doesn't get heat damage.
true. Guys, we've got a jam-packed show. Although I was thinking about it, you know, actually I have the old iTunes pulled up right now, so that's a really easy way to say it. The last podcast I did was it's been a couple weeks since we podcasted together, Mark.
Yeah,
I guess is what I'm saying, because of course I did a solo show before Celebration Orlando.
I did one after,
and you did a solo show after, as well as Bruce and I sat down to debrief kind of our experience together since we had both spent most of the convention together, and so now we meet again at last. I was once the learner, now I am the master.
You definitely have more celebrations under your belt.
How many celebrations have I been to? How many? Man.
Four?
I've been to five, six, Europe, Anaheim, Orlando. Five. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been to five. Wow. That's crazy. It's hard to believe.
Good times.
Good times indeed. So Star Wars Celebration has if someone asks me, who's already a Star Wars fan, what Star Wars Celebration is / means to me, my short answer has become twofold, but it's first and primarily my Star Wars Mecca. Mm-hmm. And in some ways I hate to draw the religious comparison because you get into kind of dangerous territory of like taking this stuff a little too seriously, but hey, we do a podcast about it every week, so I feel okay making that comparison, because it's sort of this almost spiritual reawakening of everything I love.
Fellowship of fans.
It is. It's well, and that's kind of part two, but it does tie into it. It's this reawakening of everything I love about the franchise, all in one glorious spot where there's 70,000 other Star Wars fans. As Bruce and I talked about many times with our various issues with the lines and stuff, but that's the first one. But the second one is so it's Star Wars Mecca A and B. It's the Star Wars Fellowship of the Ring. It's like literally me and all of my best Star Wars friends go, and it's where we get to connect again. So that's Star Wars Celebration at this point. And so that's the last time. So yeah, Bruce and I did a show. You did the solo show, and now we're finally back. After now, think about this, Mark. It's been a month. It's been basically a month since we podcasted together. How you feeling, man? Like you into the Star? You still into this stuff? You still like the Star Wars?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. You know, there were some exciting developments that came out. You know, some things that I'm looking forward to in this next year. I'm kind of still surprised that Battlefront 2 is happening this year. I mean, like,
it's fast.
The announcements
fast
and stuff, they're coming out, but it's almost like when the original. The Old Republic came out. You remember when Bethany was talking about how that was like,
It
came out? And we felt like it was surreal because we've been talking about it. We've seen all these great trailers, and it was like,
it's
almost upon
6 years. It took them like 6 years to release that whole game. And now it's just
it's
like,
still going.
It's and now insane. It's like, you know what? 2 year turnaround for the next Battlefront game. Here you go. I'm really excited. I love that trailer too, man. What is it? Inferno Squadron? Inferno Squad? Something?
No, Inferno Squad is the book. A prelude into the actual game. And then you're going to be following Inferno Squad through their story mode, which will be really cool.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of, was the story mode for Battlefront 2.
Yes, they're the elite stormtrooper or TIE pilot. I kind of think they're TIE pilots because they're all in black, but they're definitely elite troopers.
Yeah, I'm so excited, man. I'm eating it up. I saw the trailer. I have almost no complaints about the original Battlefront, so that tells you about me, but that's because I'm not really a serious gamer. So I was like, oh, cool, I get to be a stormtrooper and shoot at things. That was basically it. But you know what? We are kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse here a little bit. Let's actually make it official. Let's get into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
I finally had that sounder ready.
Mark,
that's finally like I will not miss it, of course. But then you didn't throw to it, Mark. And then
I almost did when you were talking about Fellowship and stuff, because the first story, it's one that I talked about in our last episode, and I'm a Donnie Downer. I realized I listened to the episode. And the reason for it is that Fellowship side of things. You know, I realize it. So I'll let you transition us into that, and then I'll get back to that.
All right, let's talk about it. Well, not going to beat around the bush. I heard the episode that you did solo talking about the big news coming out of Star Wars Celebration Orlando, and that is that episode 9, episode IX, as it were, the release date has been not moved back because it was never officially announced, but the assumption was Christmas, you know, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. But no, they have moved episode 9 back, at least, or they've announced the date that it is May 24th, 2019. Now, think about this for a second. We're in the 40th anniversary. I just had this complete brain short circuit. You know how we've been talking about the 40th anniversary for forever?
Yeah.
And that was a big thing, and that was announced at Celebration Europe, how they're doing a bunch for the 40th anniversary and how it's been on all the toys and packaging. Yeah. It literally only just now sunk in my brain what that actually means. Oh, wait, 40 years is a long time. And then I realized, oh, wait, episode 9 is going to be out more than 40 years after episode 4, A New Hope, the original release. And that was literally what happened in that split second of Riley's brain clicking and realizing, oh. But yes, directed by Colin Trevorrow. They also, by the way, if adventure has a name, it must be Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones 5 has a release date, which I'm actually really excited about. Have you seen the trailers for the new Blade Runner?
I've seen the links popping up, but true confession, I've never seen Blade Runner. I feel so terrible.
What?
I know.
Mark!
I've never taken the time.
What? I'm supposed to be the guy that hasn't seen any of those old movies, right? That's usually my role. Whenever I'm in a social circle with a bunch of Star Wars fans, it's like, wait, you haven't seen Indiana Jones? It was like that for a lot of years. Wait, you haven't seen E.T.? You haven't seen? Yeah. No, I haven't. But you have never seen the original. I actually have
that
seen.
That The Godfather are like two of those type of movies that people are like, you haven't seen. But keep in mind, I grew up in a hill with no power until
I
was
about you're kind of like me. I grew up in Peshawar, Pakistan.
Yeah,
you grew
I had
up
to catch
in the,
up. I mean,
the
there were
sticks.
Some things I missed.
Yeah, so what? Maybe we need to have a watch party. The Blade Runner, it's really good too, actually, the original Blade Runner. So the new trailers look great, but this is not about that. It's about Indiana Jones. I just wanted to hear the march. Okay, that's good. I feel better. Don't you just feel happy now?
No, I do.
It's a little dose of Williams.
And the news about Episode 9 moving to May, you know, we've been calling this since we heard Han Solo film was going to be in May. I said, we're never going to get off May again. And, I hate to be the Donnie Downer, but May is always such a busy month. My birthday's in May. We got Mother's Day in May. My town has what they call Boatnik. It's our big carnival all throughout May. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on. All the scouting events happen to be in May. It's like, oh, it's beautiful outside. Let's go outside and go camping. So I'm like, I'm so busy during May that doing anything to the scale that what we've been doing the last 2 years for Star Wars films in December is just off the table. I won't be able to do hardly anything with just myself, let alone doing it with family and friends, taking other people, going and seeing it multiple times. Like, that month is just so busy, and I am sure it is busy for a lot of other families out there. And that's something Star Wars is. And it's like, you know, I get why we're doing it, you know, nostalgia, all that. But I think that Disney's proven that December is a better time for it. And I'm afraid that the sales aren't going to be as good because of those type of factors. Because that's where I'm kind of coming from. I'm like, oh, man, it's like my mom just got a new puppy and she picked a name I just don't care about.
You're like, it's a puppy. It's great. But the name... Mom, did you have to? Did you
Louie,
have to?
Really?
Did you have to call him Booty Face? Come on!
Yeah.
I have to say Booty Face every time I say. I don't know why that's. I don't know why that's the name that came to mind.
Yeah, well, that was what killed a couple.
Come on,
names.
Mom!
I'm like, everybody be running around going Ralphie. You know, Louis, really? You go with Louis?
I actually get. But for you, it's like a personal thing, right? It's your personal schedule.
It's a personal beef.
It's like. Hang on, let me call up Ryan and I'll see what we can work out and see if they'll release it. No. Yeah, dear, true. I actually don't disagree with you at all. But in my case, I don't really have that much in terms of a counterpoint. I know you mentioned it on the podcast that you recorded, other than to say that it's kind of small peanuts to me. I admit I got used to it at Christmas, and it was kind of tied because The Force Awakens came out. That was an incredible year. The Force Awakens came out the same year I had basic training for the Air Force, and it came out that Christmas. And so that year is kind of, that's when I graduated the basic training. That was between my sophomore and junior year, so I was at the halfway point of college, and that's when it came out. And then, of course, Rogue One just came out at the end of my senior year, and so I would always, like, I would be building up Star Wars Tonight. We'd be doing the nightly podcasts, and it would be really crazy because I would, like, be surviving finals while ramping up the podcasting stuff for the movie. And so that got really, really crazy, but then it would kind of, there'd be, like, 2 weeks of breathing room where you could just do nothing but embrace not the holiday spirit, but the holiday special that is Star Wars. I don't mean that holiday special. I just mean the fact that it's special and it's the holidays and it's Star Wars.
I just
you get what
irony.
I'm saying. I'm sorry, what, Mark?
I said I just love that irony. That was I knew where you were going with that.
sorry, yeah, we had a Skype hiccup. Yeah, no, so I guess I did get used to it. And I did kind of like I liked that total focus, right, that you could give, especially someone who podcasts about this stuff. But now that I'm out of school, that's not really a factor anyway. And so I'm all about, I am hashtag about that life. I love the summer. I love summer blockbusters. We just went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 the other night with Steve Glosson and Scott Rifen. It was great.
Nice.
They'd come up, although I should probably specify, you know, I'm only giving the Star Wars references. Not only did I just graduate, I just completed my commissioning ceremony and swearing in for the Air Force as a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. So that's pretty cool.
Congratulations, Lieutenant Blanton.
Well, thank you.
As close as Lieutenant Dan as I can.
It's funny, I haven't really posted about it much on social media. I'll mention it here on the podcast briefly, because a lot of some have been asking. I'm still working on some paperwork stuff in terms of security clearance and things like that to really finalize that whole process. So it's still kind of ongoing. So we've had the ceremony, but there's some outstanding things that have to get done. And also my...
You're telling me this is because Bethany backed off doing the show, huh? They're like, we don't have as many hours of videotape and footage that we have to go over and scrutinize here. But you, Mr. Blanton, you like to talk.
Yeah, can you imagine? I don't think that they don't do it for the entry level, but at some point, somebody will be going through one of my background checks for the military, and they will have to listen to this right here. And I apologize to whoever you are, sir or madam, because there's a large backlog. This is 280 episodes. That kind of cracks me up. But no, I'm working on that. I'll kind of update it once things get resolved. It's not too bad. It's all bureaucracy stuff, really. But I'm excited because it's like a new chapter. In terms of the podcast, it also means that I've got what was originally 6 months looks now like it'll be closer to a year before I enter active duty. So that means that's good boons for the Star Wars Report over the next year, because it frees up some room and time to work on some projects that we've been working on around here but kind of put on the back burner for a long time. But that's all stuff that I will say is going to be saved for a patron call, because that's the kind of behind-the-scenes planning and programming that you can expect there.
Speaking of putting things on the oven and turning up the heat to get them cooking, though, did you hear about Entertainment Weekly? They were talking about The Last Jedi, and they gave us some new tidbits.
We did get a few new tidbits, and Mark, you're going to tell us all about it right after I do say that you can catch that behind-the-scenes call this weekend at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Hey, how was that? How was that?
That was smooth.
To everybody, if you're listening to this podcast, we've got some big plans. I'll actually be reformatting the Patreon, and we're going to be bringing in some new content to it very, very soon. But in the meantime, this upcoming weekend, it's going to be Friday or Saturday or Sunday evening. Bruce is helping nail down the time for us as we speak. But we're going to do our monthly patron exclusive Skype call, and we just all get on a conference call and just hang out and talk Star Wars. It's great. It's a great way to support the show and get in and actually speak directly to me, Bruce, Mark, and the gang as we plan, and we kind of do a hybrid chill and talk Star Wars / plan for the show and projects related to that. And this, of course, I think it's all going to be like celebration stories, because a lot of us met at Celebration. It was great. So anyway, get in on the call, and of course you can explore the bonus audio that we have available, and of course many, 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 many other cool bonuses that we give you as a way of thanking you for your support of us. It's all at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. All right, tell me about these tidbits. We got some new tidbits, Mark.
That's right. All right, so Entertainment Weekly, they dropped some 5 details that they now know about The Last Jedi.
Is this Bresnikan, isn't it? It's got to be the Brez.
It's always Bresnikan.
Yeah, of course.
Man. If it's juicy, you know that it's got the hand of Bresnikan behind the grill. Okay, so in this case, we got a brand new character. It's
Hang on. I'm sorry. I'm just going to interrupt you. Did we just make Bresnikan the Star Wars chef, the news chef, the Star Wars? He's the Bothan. Yeah. He's the Bothan spy with an apron. He's like serving up the Star Wars rumors.
I don't think of him as like a chef per se, but like one of those guys that's got the grill on the back that like doesn't matter where he goes, he just busts out and everybody smells the awesomeness and they come running. I mean, that's one of those down south home cooking deep mystique barbecue.
Yes, yes, he's the George Foreman. Star Wars fandom. He brings us a character.
He brings us a plethora of things, really. I mean, we get character, planet, vehicle. We get some title information. But the first one is Kelly Marie Tran or Train. I'm pretty sure it's Tran.
Yeah.
She's going to play Rose, a resistance mechanic who will probably be paired up with Finn as he recovers from his debilitating lightsaber injury from the front or the back, depending on how you digested that movie or book. The second one, of
Mark,
course,
you will never let go of that.
I'm never going to let that go. They could tell me all day it was issues with films and publishing and all that. Correct it. Anyway, the second one, well, we got a new planet for this film.
Yes.
The world is Krait, which I love just in the aspect of, you know, it's not spelled like Krait Dragon, but I don't know. I'm at EU. We had Krait dragons, and I love the word being around. But according to Ryan Johnson, it's way out there. It's very remote. It's uncharted. It's a mineral planet, and there are so many mines on it, or there are mines on it. It's also home of an abandoned rebel base. But I like the fact that it's uncharted. I mean, that says so many different things. Like, I mean, we've seen Rebels where we've seen Agent Callus go behind and take planets out of the database. We've seen Dooku do similar. So what do you mean by uncharted? Like, never been charted before? Is this like a Luke's gone looking for the first Jedi kind of base? Or it's exciting.
If
like,
it's I don't know. I get, if it's I not dig in the things. Archives, it doesn't exist. Oh, look. Exactly. My phone is connected to my Bluetooth speaker. All right, let me turn that off. Sorry. That was funny.
Well, I thought that was the excitement for the number third one, which is a new vehicle. There are new starships. They're going to be reminiscent of B-Wings, the first one from first seen in Return of the Jedi, that is. So expect something like a T-shape, which this actually reminds me of something that I just saw.
Now, these did we see these in the trailer? Are these like the modified frigates that are making that I don't think so. I think this is different.
I don't think so. They make this sound like it's a fighter. They're saying starship. Usually something that size they'll call freighter or frigate.
Yeah.
But it reminds me also, there was also a little leaked image from Hasbro about what Kylo Ren's going to be flying, a TIE Advance sort of fighter as well. It's kind of cool.
This,
number four, we learned
number four,
more about...
Don't go over this slowly. I think number four is the most significant one here.
All right. So we learn more about Luke's decision to flee. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Johnson said that the movie will explain why Luke's decision to flee and isolate himself was the right one and not an act of cowardice. And not only is this big, I think that this one's going to have the most preconceived notions for fans, especially fans of the EU, fans that have followed Luke post New Jedi Order and beyond.
Can I sell out a friend of mine, Mark?
Oh,
I'm going to sell out Aaron Goins.
The bus is coming. Aaron, no! Not Aaron! Don't throw me from the bus!
How was that?
Thank you for riding Star Tours. Bye-bye.
So, we were sitting like one row up and about five seats down from Aaron and Teresa for the last Jedi panel at Celebration. It was great, great seating. It had a great view, and like I've talked about with Bruce, this trailer's different. The trailer for The Force Awakens that premiered at Celebration Anaheim ended with a sense of euphoria, with a sense of sort of a restoration of what we loved about the original trilogy. You know, Chewie, we're home. This one ends with a total cliffhanger horror movie. Question mark. You're like,
the trailer
what?
Ends like Empire Strikes Back ends.
Yep. Exactly. Probably not by accident. So I say all that to say, I walk up to Aaron Goins, and everyone's like, of course, the panel's just ended because that last thing they did was show the trailer. And the panel's ended, and Aaron is just in this kind of stunned silence. Now, because Aaron is a giant fan of Luke Skywalker. And specifically, he followed every aspect of Luke's journey through the old expanded universe. And he one of the first things he said to me afterwards, he's like, "I don't know if I like this direction. I don't know if Luke ending the Jedi Order. Of course, we don't know because we don't really know what it's time for the Jedi to end. We don't really know what that looks like."
Yeah, that's a good statement.
Does he mean, is it time for the old ways of the old order to end? Does he mean it's the... I took him at his word. Like, I mean that the Jedi as an institution, period, even a reformed one, is to end. That's just my personal Riley's
Jedi
fan canon.
Jedi down, the knights are rising.
Exactly. That was my personal response to it. And it was Aaron's, too, which is what had him concerned, because he doesn't like that idea. Like, the Jedi are such a core part of Star Wars good versus evil. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. And so when Johnson says, you know, it's going to explain why his decision to flee and isolate himself was the right one and not an act of cowardice, the fact that he describes the alternative, right? There are two ways of viewing it as we need an explanation for it, and one explanation is cowardice. I'm assuming there's probably a character, probably Ray, who would initially, not being able to see the full picture, think he was cowardly for running. I could totally see that being, because if this is truly an Empire Strikes Back type of film, it's not just going to be a hunky-dory Ray says, "What's up, Luke?" and then they start training and then they go off and, you know, fight Snoke, right? There's going to be conflict. Ray's probably going to learn things about herself, learn things about the Jedi.
He's going to tell her right away about the bad. I'm thinking that's going to be something that comes out within the first 15 to 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah. Yeah, no, true. So that's, I don't know, I'm excited. It's and then finally, here we go, number
five.
Hold
on, before we can't, you said we had to stay on this one.
Oh,
you,
right, oh, though, sorry.
I'm similar in the same boat as Aaron. I have always been a fan of the current Luke in the Expanded Universe stories. And so I think that there's a lot of people out there, Aaron, myself especially, that I think we're going to have a hard time if we turn out to find out that the Jedi are ending. Or worst case scenario, I mean, in Legends, we watch Luke rebuild the Jedi. He makes them better than they were before. He fixes all the things that fundamentally fell into a dogmatic state that helped them fall. You know, at least that was what he was trying to do. But now we're finding out maybe in canon, the whole part of the prequels was the end of the Jedi. That there were no supposed to be no other Jedi after that. Luke was something new. The first of the new Jedi, he thought. But maybe he's supposed to be something beyond that. Maybe he's supposed to evolve beyond that. I mean, that's an angle that we never thought of. Is like, yeah, and I'm with Aaron. Like, I don't know how I feel about living in an era where the Jedi are extinct. You know, that there is something different in their place. Even in Legends, when they did that in Legacy of the comic, when they had the Imperial Knights, the Jedi were still around. They had been decimated and were scattered, but they were still around. So that's going to be something that I think a lot of people are going to have an issue with.
Yeah, it's it's interesting because the Jedi, as an institution, in the original trilogy, it's a vague mythological order of the old guard. You know, the Jedi Knights were once the guardians of peace and justice in the old Republic, mm-hmm. before the dark times, before the Empire.
You think about when Jason fell to the dark side. You know, when he slaughters Luke's wife, in a sense, and Luke is bent on revenge. Jaina and everybody are like, "You can't be the one to do it." You know, they sideline him. They're like, "You have to be benched," and that's the angle that I feel like they're going to have to play. That's why I feel like they're going to have to show us this flashback right away, because the last time we saw Luke Skywalker, Rey was holding out a lightsaber, basically saying, "This is yours. Train me."
Yeah.
So we're going to pick up with that theme, and he's going to first off go, "You know what? I'm in a really dark place. Here's why." And, you know, I think it's going to spill out of that, and where they go in that flashback, there's so many different directions, but every one of them in my mind is epic. So I'm just like, I'm trepidatious for the direction they could go, but at the same time, I'm excited as hell for how they're going to deliver.
Remind me, what films has Rian Johnson done? It was Looper was one.
And I like that one.
That was good. I have a lot of faith, like I've said, in the creative team here. I think even if they are reframing or ending the Jedi Order, I am willing to embrace or at least give that version of the story, give that story a chance on its own merit and kind of see what it's like. But I understand that would be hard for someone like you or Aaron who have a very fixed idea of what you love about the character defined by, you know, books that this story is not going to parallel.
Well, and that's just it too. It's like everything we know of the Jedi don't exist in canon. I mean, we've had a small window of what a Jedi is.
You got to go back to the basics
now. Shown to us
in
the last 5-10 years. Yeah.
It's back.
I mean,
it's square one.
A lot that the Legends did that just, you just.
Here's
It taints so much, man.
Well, and here's, Let's get real, folks. Let's get real. We got to get back to square one, back to basics. This is what we know about the Jedi. They were once the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Obi-Wan has this sort of fanciful view of what the best version of the Order was, and he embraced those ideals in his sacrifice in A New Hope. That's the central part of the final act, is the mentor sacrificing himself for the hero and the hero going on to save the day. And that's one of the most powerful things about Obi-Wan, period. But what we learn when we learn the true history, as is often the case, is that what we've, the rose-tinted glasses and what we kind of think of our heroes or think of these institutions may not have been as, what's the word I'm looking for? They may not have been as trustworthy and as stand-up and as pure as we thought of them. Maybe they weren't just the guardians of peace and justice. Maybe they were manipulated. Maybe, in fact, they were generals in a war that was a that was, you know, and they were unwitting puppets playing a role in the destruction of everything they held dear, which, in fact, they were. And there's a sense of poetry that Obi-Wan knows all of this and still believes in the higher call of the Order. And I think that that's very powerful. And I think that if Luke as a hero, if Luke as the new mentor can embrace the ideals of Obi-Wan, the older mentor, the Jedi Order doesn't need to exist. What does need to exist are the ideals that are expressed in, you know, they were once the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. That was the goal. That was the highest, you know, the achievement that a Jedi Knight could be, but they ended up not being, obviously, if you watch Revenge of the Sith. Well, so,
I don't know. Think about Qui-Gon. I mean, Qui-Gon's a perfect example of the failures of the Jedi.
Yeah.
He went and he freed Anakin, but he left Shmi. I mean, legends went out of their way to give us a reason that Qui-Gon also managed to get Shmi free, but canon, we don't have that. In canon, Qui-Gon just left her there. There's slavery all over the galaxy, and it's a normal thing. And the Jedi are supposed to be guardians of peace and justice.
Yeah, no, it's true. Wow, that was good stuff, man. That's a lot to think about.
So number five.
I'll knock this one out for us. The Last Jedi. Well, it doesn't refer to Luke. It turns out that the title does not refer to him. It also does not indicate Rey, but instead Luke's mournful pledge at the end. To end the mystical order, and so that's pretty explicit. That's kind of what he's saying at the end. It's time for the Jedi to end. You know, the Force is going to awake, and then the Jedi are going to sleep. Get it? Because it's like a joke.
He's going to find Kanan and Ezra's little academy and shut it down.
Sorry, boys. I'm giving the kibosh. All right,
I mean, that just leads back to that thought of that's exactly what's going to happen, that you're either going to see Luke evolve the Jedi into something else or a combination of Luke closing down shop and Rey telling him we've got to do something and him just kind of evolving it into something new. You know, like we're parking all the bad and we're just going to go forward with good. It's time to be positive.
I really need to transfer the eight films, the digital versions, to my new laptop. I don't. I have them on a hard drive. An external hard drive, because I just really wanted to access some of the scenes from A New Hope while we were discussing that, including the scene where where Aunt Beru is making the freaking weird thing.
Luke, tell Uncle be sure he speaks Bachi. Luke.
All right, I love Aunt Beru. No, actually, StarWars.com put up a... This is pretty fun. This is a... StarWars.com kind of more or less made the blue milk recipe canon.
Yeah, you're trolling me with that. That's
Well, Bruce put this story in, and he's totally trolling you, Mark.
I know. I was like, Bruce, the blue milk's ingredients canon already.
Makes frozen bananas and honey canon, right?
I guess... No,
I've had. Have you ever had any kind of blue milk beverage, Mark?
You know, I have.
You have,
but I don't. I don't think we use this stuff. We made some of our own with Pixie sticks.
We
take the Pixie stick sugar, and we were trying to add it to milk, and it was
like as kids, or was this a recent thing?
Yeah, as kids.
They would have
Pixie sticks, and they had these big ones, right?
Hang on.
And those big ones were what we would use. We'd take those big ones, we'd cut the thing, and dump the whole thing in there, and it was just it didn't work at all. But if you were to see like a little book, I'll even give you a kid's book, and you're flipping through in the pages, and in the book there's a picture of a cooking book open, and this recipe was in there in Bocce, I would give you it was canon then.
But you're not. Well, let's forget about the canon. I want to focus on the fact that you made blue milk as a kid. I wonder how many people tried that, because I thought about it. I remember thinking about, man, it'd be cool to try to make that. How would you do that? And then I was like, well, I don't want to, you know. raid my parents' pantry without permission, because I don't think my mom would never have let me waste food, like just trying to make milk turn blue. Like I'd be getting food coloring and
it explains why I failed in a way, because I mean, you take the cup and a half of the milk, you take a tablespoon of sugar, a half a teaspoon of vanilla, some blue food dye gel or gel dye, you stir the milk, the sugar, and vanilla together. When the sugar is dissolved, you stir in your blue food gel dye until combined. And see, we just dumped the stuff in and it just
like
powdered, floated.
Hang on. I feel like I need some background music for my cooking show. Because we're about to do, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need to do right now, is a Star Wars cooking show. Let's see. Oh, well, it's blue milk, so we'll go back to Tatooine. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Aunt Brew's Kitchen with special guest host, Riley Blanton. Today we're going to talk about how to make blue milk. The first thing...
You know, we got someone actually in studio that's perfect to talk about blue milk.
We do.
Zero the Hutt. Zero, come on in.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear.
Oh, good gracious.
Oh,
you got
God.
The blue milk? I love blue milk. Jeez. Well, you got to have the right ingredients. See, Jabba never has the right stuff. He always gets that second.
So here's what I want you to do. If you're listening to this podcast right now, get out a piece of note paper or maybe open up your notes app on your iPhone, unless you're driving, in which case... pull over and pull out your notebook. and your ingredients. Zero, what are the ingredients?
First, you got to pull out your data pad, and you got to get yourself some whole milk. Not that 1% or that 2%. You got to take yourself the 1.5 cups of the whole milk. You take 1 tablespoon, you see, of the sugar, and you take a half a tablespoon. No, I'm sorry, it's a half a teaspoon. I can't read my Erebush here. It's of the vanilla, and then you take some of this blue food dye gel, and you stir it all together. It'll dissolve, it'll get crazy, it'll get a little crazy. It's okay, because there's nobody out there that's going to do anything but come and drink it. So you call your friends, you call your dancers, you get everybody in here, get the Twilights going, and we're going to have a good time.
Oh, dear good Lord.
Luke, tell Uncle to get this hut out of my kitchen.
There's an official recipe. Hey, I've also had blue milk. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I bet you never thought a segment on the Star Wars Report on how to make blue milk would be this long. But it would be. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen, because I too have had blue milk. But it was the variety. It was a special recipe that was at a brewery in New York City that they had made some kind of cocktail that was going around. I tasted it. I was trying to remember. I don't remember exactly what the base was. It was very popular at the party, though, because it actually didn't taste bad. You would think it kind of would, but it was like some like white Russian with blue food coloring or something like that. I don't know. It was pretty cool. And so they actually had a dedicated Star Wars menu, including that beverage. So I've actually been at an event where they served blue milk. With blue milk with a little bit of a kick to it. Anyway, by the way, that recipe comes from @JustGin, which JustGin Recipes on Instagram. She has a great site where she does a ton of Star Wars. And I think she's done stuff with us as well before. So just check her out, JustGinRecipes.com. That's really cool. That's really cool. So there we go. Oh, wait, I still have the Tatooine music in the background. All right, you know what? Let's just see where we are. This concludes Aunt Brew's Kitchen. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week when we talk about how to make Ewok meat pies. That's about the best music cue that we could end on.
You know, I gotta say though, Aunt Beru's segment on Wookiee cookies were delicious. They were so chewy.
Would Aunt Beru be the Paula Deen of the Star Wars universe? She should be like, and when the sugar's dissolved, and the recipe calls for 1 tablespoon, that sucker needs at least 2 cups of sugar. All right,
wonder if she might have had her own cooking podcast.
I mean, I'd listen to that. Someone needs to do.
Speaking of things with their own followings, though, did you catch that Hasbro has another figure vote?
You know, I
saw that.
And that there
was a certain character that had a following?
I remember Hasbro doing votes in their old forum, if I remember right. Or was it maybe it was Rebel Scum or somebody that used to do these figure votes and they'd do a fan favorite? And they did it on StarWars.com this time around.
What they typically do is they let... Well, no, what they do is they let the... They did it the way they did last time where those sites will do it. Like Jedi Archives will do one, the Jedi Temple Archives, that is. You know, different sites around the way. I think the Force.net will do some. Jedi News does some. And then they will take and compile those lists and give them to StarWars.com, and then they'll run their last word, the master poll.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing again this year, but like last year, there was a rally cry of EU fans that got Jaina pushed ahead and got Jaina voted through. They tried doing the same thing with Ben Skywalker this time, and it seemed to be working. He was climbing the polls. Everything seemed great, you know. As a fan of the Ben Skywalker figure, hoping for it.
Until you hear that sound in the distance, ladies and gentlemen, that's the sound of Dr. Aphra. Dr. Aphra fever, catch it.
Yes. Well, and there was also a little bit of controversy, too. There were some bots that were created that were helping throw the vote.
Ooh,
people
had
screenshotted that and brought it forward.
No.
And so I guess they went through and they eliminated all the votes that they could detect like
Rigged.
That. And so suddenly Ben was nowhere to be seen.
What? With this travesty cannot stand. Hashtag not my action figure.
which you know, in Aphra, she was the leading one. And honestly, when I was looking at the list before, I mean, when I was thinking canon versus legends characters, Aphra was the no-brainer. I mean, she, in a sense, is your new EU type. I hate using that phrase, but she's your new EU character.
Can we say the Niu?
Great for the comics.
Can that be a thing? Let's call it the Niu.
The new. She's the new character. Hey, that works. It's almost got a Clone Luke kind of vibe to it. But she's a character that came from the Darth Vader series. She's crossed over with Luke on the main Star Wars one a couple times now, I think. But yeah, she came from the comics. She hasn't really been featured anywhere else. And yet she's kind of like the Indiana Jones of her time and has kind of developed her own fan
She is
following.
An archaeologist, too, by the way. She's sort of like... And I've never read the Dr. Aphra comic or anything, but her character appeared in the Vader comic, right? I believe.
Yep. She started out Vader, brought her on board. She ended up betraying Vader, and I believe she's currently on the run.
You know who does an incredible cosplay of Dr. Aphra is Bria from
really?
White Hot Room and Tashi Station. She has this incredible Dr. Aphra cosplay. She was just doing some event. I saw it on Instagram. You should check it out. It's at Chaos Bria. But yeah, no, that's cool. I've never read any of the comics featuring, but I haven't read a ton of comics, but I'm not familiar with Dr. Aphra, but I know that she's really popular. So I'm not too the runner up was Ahsoka Tano, which is, by the way, I actually did jump in and vote, and I voted for Ahsoka Tano just because I thought of all the characters, that would be kind of the one I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's awesome. Also, let's how are we doing on time, Mark? Are we doing okay?
We're about 50 minutes into this Skype call.
Well, we're doing all right. We're doing okay with but we're all fine here. Let's talk about Star Wars Day on May the 4th. Rian Johnson posted a video message. Let's take a little listen to the audio here.
Oh, I'm all ears.
All right, here we go.
Hey, this is Rian Johnson, writer and director of Star Wars The Last Jedi, and I'm here
with
someone you might know. Hello, John.
Hello.
Have you got anything to say to everybody on this 4th of May?
Well, I will say, may the 4th be with you.
Hey!
Okay, back to work. Back to work.
You know what I love about that clip? Is that it's kind of awkward, and it's obvious that they were just in the middle of, you know, doing the post-production and, you know, working through the score for The Last Jedi. And then Ryan's like, oh, I guess it's the 4th. Let's do something. And he just pulls out his phone and then just throws it in a very surprised John Williams face. He's like, may the 4th be with you. And then he's like, all right, now that's enough. Get back to work. Back to work, John. Come on.
Back to the cage. We need more soundtracks.
It's a regular old slave driver, that Rian Johnson. Also, I am still of the theory that Rian Johnson is actually Matt Rushing. Listen to his voice. Listen.
Rian Johnson, writer and director of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, my
Does that,
Lord.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. You just blew my mind.
Right?
Oh.
I had this epiphany at Star Wars Celebration when he was sitting on stage, and I leaned over. I think it was William Devereaux who was sitting next to me, like, doesn't he sound just like Matt? And we're like, he totally does. So fun fact there. Oh my goodness. Man, there's a lot to talk about there. We have a couple of the big stories. And I want to hit up this audio of this Josh Horowitz, Kathleen Kennedy interview, where they're talking about Bob Iger's comments on the Han Solo movie. We talked about this when the story broke a couple weeks ago about we're going to find out, you know, the origin and how Han Solo, quote unquote, got his name, which, you know, I was like, wait, that's not his name. That's not his given name. His given name is like Thaddeus Thumbcracker. No, his name's Han Solo. I'm very interested to hear what Kathleen Kennedy has to say. Also, we got a little bit more on The Last Jedi and also a change in The Force Awakens, as well as some new Star Wars content that's actually coming from Disney. So we got a couple more stories to hit, but I do want to take a brief time out to just thank everybody who is supporting this very program on iTunes. We've actually gotten some recent iTunes reviews, and I just wanted to take a time out. We usually don't do it in the show, so I wanted to take an opportunity just to thank everybody who's been helping share this podcast with your friends. Yeah. and also via iTunes. When people leave the ratings and reviews, you guys, you're really helping spread the word about the show and help us, because it makes a difference in the rankings and where we show up when people are searching for Star Wars podcasts. And of course, we want the Star Wars Report to show up right there. So I'm going to just thank BJ and Ricky, who most recently left reviews, as well as D-Lo Cosplay. Thank you guys so much for leaving reviews. And if you want to leave us a review and rating, you can do it very easily right in the podcasts app on your Apple device. Or if you're an Android user, or if you just like using the desktop client, just pull up iTunes on your computer, log in, and search for the Star Wars Report in the podcast store, and that's where you can actually head there and leave us a rating and review. We do appreciate it. And I've also made it super easy for you. Forget all of that, and on whatever device you're using right now, just go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and that gets it right there. But we thank everyone supporting us, not just through things like Patreon, but also for getting the word out and sharing the episode with your friends. If you like Star Wars and you know somebody else who does, and you're listening to this podcast, tell them about it. We do appreciate it. And then also, Mark, we're gonna have to take a second here, because we've got to do some Q&A. I actually got some awesome Twitter questions and a little bit of email too. I don't think I've even had a chance to get it all in the show. So I guess what I'm saying is there's
a ton of stuff. Time to punch it, Chewy.
Exactly. So I'm gonna take a 60-second water break. I'm gonna refill my bottle of water, and we'll be right back with the Star Wars Report podcast. It's been a while since we heard this one, too. That's better. Much better. All right. And we're back with the Star Wars Report podcast. I say it like it's a radio tease, as if we like just had to take a commercial break. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with the Star Wars Report podcast. Well, let's get straight into it. The Last Jedi. Rian Johnson actually asked for a droid swap.
Yeah.
A droid swap at the end of The Force Awakens. Originally, BB-8... was going to be on the Falcon riding along, but due to what he was working on with The Last Jedi, he requested that it would be R2 who would accompany Rey to Ax-2. Mm-hmm. Salute. Aboard. I'm not surprised at all. Mark?
You know, honestly, I think having BB-8 go off with Rey would have been more of a surprising twist in the aspect of, like, wait, Poe just lost his droid? What? Like... I remember when the toy line launched and stuff, I kept wondering what the story with Rey was, because she had the droid with her sometimes and not all the time. Sometimes Poe had him, and I'm like, okay, whose droid is this? So
I remember that,
I think making that switch was a brilliant move.
Yeah, no, and it means something for the story, and it's probably because I'm guessing R2 will continue to be a little bit of the MacGuffin, or at least be tied to the central part of the story, as he always is.
Well, and at this point in the film process that we have seen on the big screen, Luke hasn't seen R2 yet. I mean, we have that
true
moment. That
true story, bro.
To come.
Yeah, true story. all right, this is exciting news. I actually saw this news on Anthony Carboni's Twitter. Disney is creating something called the Disney Digital Network, which is combining and synthesizing a lot of its brands and talent across different digital platforms like YouTube and podcasts and stuff like that. And they're putting it all under one kind of umbrella. And, of course, Star Wars is part of that. And they're doing a new series called Science and Star Wars, hosted by none other than Anthony Carboni. It's an episodic series that explores, explains, and demonstrates the parallels between the science fantasy of Star Wars and the real-world scientific breakthroughs that the saga inspired. So it's going to be him and a rotating roster of IBM researchers, scientific experts, guest stars, and Watson.
See, you're so much more gentler than Bruce had the show notes set up as. I was like, man, is he going to play with him? A new Star Wars series? Filoni's been talking. No, not what you were thinking at all. No, we pulled a fast one.
Different.
This one's fun, though. I mean, for me, like, this has that trappings of like a Mythbusters type of show. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, like, I get a kick out of that almost more than I do the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. No, I enjoy that kind of stuff, and it's very much sort of Anthony used to be with Discovery Digital. And Discovery Channel has this digital platform where they do a lot of interesting content. And this sounds kind of similar in its own way. So I'm excited. I hope it's on the YouTube channel, which I assume it will be. Actually, I know it will be now that I remember. I read the press release on the website, and it will be available on the Star Wars YouTube channel, which I'm excited to hear. So it'll be interesting to see this is kind of that one kind of micro step closer to the dream of having the Lucasfilm cable channel. Only, of course, by the time it happens, you know, cable channels will be kind of a thing of the past. This will sort of be, well, the Lucasfilm digital content platform. Only they'll probably come up with a more catchy title than that.
Yeah. The Lucasfilm cinematic app. The LCD.
Hey, how did Han Solo get a name? Like a pine tree's wandering the winding road. Let's find out. Here we go.
I mean, you know how diehard these fans are, and picking apart any morsel of information. Bob Iger recently talked about the Han Solo movie,
yes. And
how we're going to find out that's not his real name. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that some fans were like, oh, come on, it should be, that's his name. Did that catch you off guard?
I don't know, it didn't catch me off guard. I'm not sure that that's entirely what Bob meant.
Okay.
There's more to Han Solo's name, but it's not that it's not his name.
Okay.
It's obviously his name.
Okay.
It will always be his name.
you know, if I was a little slower, faster on the punch, I would be better at making this happen. come on. I just want to replay the clip, only just play it with Jim Croce in the background, because it just amuses me.
I mean, you know how diehard these fans are and picking apart any morsel of information. Bob Iger recently talked about...
By the way, Kathleen is so... She's very gracious in her shutdown, right?
That some fans were like, oh, come on, it should be... That's his name. Did that catch you off guard?
I don't know. It didn't catch me off guard. I'm not sure that that's entirely what Bob meant.
Okay.
There's more to Han Solo's name, but it's not that it's not his name.
Okay.
It's obviously his name.
Okay.
It will always be his name.
Moving me down the highway. Rolling me down the highway. Moving ahead to life won't pass me by.
I swear, the end credits of the Han Solo movie better be this song.
Like a north wind whistling down the sky.
Boy.
That's all I'm going to say. I totally lost my train of thought. Where were we? Oh, yes, the interview does continue. How about the future of Star Wars? How about an Obi-Wan movie? Josh asks, Kathleen answers.
How soon can we expect a next spinoff announcement? My money's on, as many fans are, an Obi-Wan movie. It feels
I think we're getting close. My hope would be sometime around the summer. I never want to predict the creative process because it is its own thing. So we're in the midst of those discussions right now.
Okay. And finally for you, I mean, are you looking past? I mean, I know that you're in the saga films, as we call them. But do you have a plan in place for what you do next with these quote-unquote saga films? Do you take a break? Do you go right back to the Skywalker story or what?
You know, it's interesting you ask that because, you know, I'm sure everybody would love for me to say, oh, yeah, we've got this figured out for the next 20 years. No, we spend a lot of time talking, debating, watching, looking at what connects with ourselves, with the audience. All of that is a part of our decision-making. So we're asking those questions right now.
Okay, I've seen the headlines from this quote. Mm-hmm. You know, because these interviews, this is how this works, guys. Someone finally gets an interview and bothers to ask a decent question. Which, by the way, the category of people who ask good questions of Lucasfilm people, are you ready? It's three people. It's Josh Horowitz, it's Steele Saunders, and it's Anthony Resnikin. Which Steele can now be added to that list because he asked some great questions doing the press line at Celebration. I say all of that to say, the headlines were, you know, the future of the saga films, uncertain. Are they going to do more after 9? Let's focus on the Obi-Wan thing. We're going to do a little bit of audio analysis, if we will.
Breakdown.
Let's take a
look. How soon can we expect a next spinoff announcement? My money's on, as many fans are, an Obi-Wan movie.
All right, first thing off, he leads with the question, next spinoff film, right? Because we're all waiting, because it was going to be that freaking Boba Fett movie until what's-his-face, until Fantastic Four, Fortastic, whatever, took a giant poop at the box office, and then the director totally collapsed. What was the guy's name who was attached to it? I forget it.
I can't even remember.
But point being...
I just remember what bad it was. I purged it.
Exactly. So point being, but he doesn't just ask the question, so when's the next spinoff film? He leads on to it. He mentions the Obi-Wan movie. Now listen carefully to Kathleen's response. Here we go.
Feels like... I think we're getting close.
Getting close to what? All right, now I'm just going to play it right from the beginning one last time.
How soon can we expect a next spinoff announcement? My money's on, as many fans are, an Obi-Wan movie. It feels like...
I think we're getting close. My hope would be sometime around the summer. I never want...
All right, so his initial question is on the spinoff film, and she kind of starts to cut him off a little bit there to give the answer, which makes me think the I'm definitely overanalyzing this, everybody. But the fact that she kind of cuts in and doesn't even miss a beat when he follows it up with maybe Obi-Wan means that I think she would have been more hesitant to not specifically kind of retreat from answering the question because it included the specifics. Normally, someone like Kathleen Kennedy would be way more willing to answer a broad question and not one that specifically mentions Obi-Wan. And so the fact that she didn't even miss a beat and kind of smoothly answered it makes me kind of think that Obi-Wan is on the table. And again, that's totally conjecture based off that.
For me, what I get out of that is that, you know, she continues on with, I don't want to rush the creative process. It tells me that they're in the middle of it. They know who it's about, but they don't have the plot locked in enough yet to commit to the movie that, they could be in rewrite territory, which I'm sure once they start moving forward, we'll get told about that. Like, it's getting rewrote. It's getting that stuff's happening right now, but we don't know about it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, they talk about that creative process and you know, I mean, early in this episode, I give Finn guff because of being slashed in the front and the back. But those are when those type of issues come up, is when they're working on one and they're working on another and, you know, the communication, they're doing their best. You know, I give them hats off on what they're doing. But occasionally stuff like that's going to slip through. So, I mean, that's where I'm like, okay, how much of this do they know versus how much? So that's where down the road I'm looking forward to those, you know, the stuff that I don't really care for now with the old movies, the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, those behind the scenes stuff, I don't care about it now. It's like 10 years too late. I want to know about the behind the scenes stuff now. You know, the stuff that's happening right now. That's why, like, right now with all the Rogue One stuff coming out, I'm like, keep giving it to me. I want to know more. Come on, give me the nitty gritty.
Yeah, no, I could see that. That is a little bit of a tough one.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it too with Rogue One. Like, I mean, we're getting all the stuff with Rogue One because it was a self-contained movie. It's done. It's over with. You know, the sequel trilogy, it's still going. We have two movies still coming. So we're not going to get a lot of that with any of those movies until 9 is over with. I mean, so, you know, it's a weird want, I guess I have.
Yeah. No, but I get it. But I definitely get it. I'm actually just now glancing for some feedback, but I seem to have misplaced the folder that I had some feedback emails in.
Was that your Q&A?
Yeah, I did some Q&A, and then we also had some emails, but I feel like I definitely should not miss the Q&A as well. Sorry, but I totally interrupted you, Mark. You were saying?
No, that was it.
I mean, oh, cool.
I'm just in that spot of, you know, I want to know more. And it's where I'm leading. I've got a lot hinged on that flashback scene at that temple, man. I'm just like, that's like, since the first movie came out, that's been my dying, simmering question. And if that flashback doesn't deliver at all, I'm afraid we're still going to have to wait even longer to get all these answers. So I'm like, please let it all come out in this.
Well,
just lay it all out on the table.
No, I hear you. All right, well, we are actually almost out of time, but that doesn't mean we're not going to do a lightning round quick version of Boba's Bounty.
It's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Each and every week, we like to do a a gallant wandering... Hang on, I'm pulling it out of my shelf. A stroll through the memory lane of the week's events in terms of Star Wars stuff. What have we been doing in the world of Star Wars? To which I say, over the last whatever 4 weeks that it's been since we've done Boba's Bounty, it's literally been Riley's been trying to graduate college. I'm now officially a college graduate. I've survived finals. I got my grades in, and it's done. Which also means, by the way, I'm now finally reading for pleasure. Courtesy of the fine folks over at Disney Publishing, we have a copy of Rebel Rising, and I am now three, four chapters in, and I've been enjoying it. It's a very fun read, and it's actually pretty it's fast paced. It's a bit of a page turner. Mm-hmm. Which is a high compliment coming from me, because in my opinion, a lot of the Star Wars books aren't. So this one definitely is. It's chronicling Jyn's journey. It's sort of like the between the prologue and the actual film. It's almost as if, like, things that we should have seen on screen to learn about Jyn, to empathize with her, instead of just telling us about her rap sheet in a conference room. Not to offer too harsh a criticism. Man, that is the one thing that kind of bothers me a little bit about the way they sell Jyn a little bit short by not letting us...
That's the movie-book combo, though. I mean, it's like, we were talking about this on Beyond the Films, about how you're not going to have big events because they're saving them all for movies, and yet you're not going to get a lot of background on characters going to save it all for the books.
But don't do that. Like, we didn't have that with Rey. Rey, it was we learned.
What? We don't know anything about Rey.
No, we know so much about Rey. And I'm not talking about backstory. I'm talking about what that character's values are, right? So when I say Jyn's rap sheet, I'm not talking about just because I want to see how she forged imperial documents, right? Or how she resisted arrest. I just want to see what makes her tick, what her values are, and what her dreams are and aspirations. In the original, we learn about Luke, who's like, well, you know, I want to go to Tosh Station, pick up some power converters. You know, I wanted to get off this rock. My dream of flying. And so, but even more so in The Force Awakens, we learn about Rey and her loneliness as she waits for her family, and as she's a scavenger, and you learn so much about her life, and you see her look across the table at the old lady, and without even a single word of dialogue, you know of what she fears she will become, And yeah, no, it's almost night and day. I guess what I'm saying is that so much of Jin's background and stuff is expositional in the first act. That is not to say that Rogue One isn't still awesome, and I, especially that last act is just absolutely exquisite. But I digress. Rebel Rising, read it. It's great so far. Can't wait to finish it. I can't believe I actually have time to read for pleasure now. I haven't done that like the last 4 years. So, Mark, what have you been up to?
Well, so Disney Press sent me the same, too. I like the fact that Rebel Rising kind of spans more of her life. Like, it kind of almost jumps.
Have you finished it already?
No, I'm in the audiobook of that one. But I also had Rucka's Guardians of the Wills.
Oh,
and
yes,
that
yes.
One, that one's a lot more centrally located to right before Rogue One kicks off. But that's what I like about Rebel Rising is it's like it jumps all over the place at times, but it's going from the moment of when she got locked in that bunker and he opened her up to her being left behind. Like, it really spans everything. So it's almost kind of like how the Thrawn book was. Like, it really gives you a gap of this character's life, or even the Tarkin book. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But for me, it was Free Comic Book Day. It was just this last Saturday, and my comic book store was giving away free loot bags for everyone that was dressed up. So I, of course, came down in my Jedi outfit, and my son, right before we walked out the house, was like, he grabbed this Ezra Bridger voice changer that looks like his gas mask, and is like, "Dad, you should wear this." And I was looking at it, and I'm like, "I should," but the problem with it is there's no way to attach it. So we really quick bust out a drill, just some holes in the corner, threw a shoestring through there, tied it onto my face. It was pretty cool. I was like, "All right." I went down there, got a big old swag bag to let me get some pop. I got a Iron Fist gold pop vinyl figure given to me, and I got $20 worth of comics given to me for free for it all. I was like, "Dude, this is awesome." So yeah, it was probably one of the funner free comic book days I've had in a while in the aspect of loot. And there was quite a few cosplayers down there and stuff. They always make a big deal out of it and stuff. And the guy that so
was Free
when I was
Comic Book
before,
Day.
I'd done
an interview was that
with
May the 4th?
No, it didn't land on May the 4th. It was the 6th.
Okay.
But when I went down there one time, it was May the 4th. Or no, it wasn't May the 4th. It was really close to it. And I did an interview with Jeff, was the owner. Well, he has moved on. And the new owner, when he came in, it was around this time in May the 4th. So he's put his I bought it date is the 5th of May, so he does like a whole 3-day event.
Nice. That's awesome. Dude. Well, this has been Boba's Bounty with Riley and Mark. Let's do some rapid fire feedback to cap off the old episode.
All right.
Actually, we got a lot of we got a lot of feedback, which is awesome. But let's go straight from Damian Krasinski. He says, "What's the most fun part about podcasting?" Actually, so we'll do this rapid fire style. We'll alternate. Mark, I'll let you go second on this one, and then you take the first one on the next one. I'll say the most fun part about podcasting that is the friendships you make with people who both listen and come on the show. It's just literally like a big bunch of friends, and it's great.
Yes, I'll second that and add to it that you get interesting points of views on things. Sometimes there's looks on topics that you would have never thought of. Case in point with Rebels, I pointed out to someone that Chopper was a disabled war veteran. You know, it was a big epiphany for him.
Yeah, no, definitely. We got a couple from Scott. We'll go rapid fire. He says, oh, this one's to me, so I guess I will take it. Maybe this has been discussed. How do you think graduation deployment will impact Star Wars Report? A lot, but graduation means I have a ton more time now, and I mentioned it kind of at the beginning of the show. Once I go active duty later, it was going to be later this year. Now it looks like early next year. And you never really know what the dates on this stuff. So that's why I don't really talk about the specifics. But it literally will scale up or down based on how much time I can commit to it. Fortunately, especially in the foreseeable future, this summer and fall is a jam-packed year. In fact, by that I mean this is going to be the biggest year the Star Wars Report has ever had. We're going to be doing some incredible stuff, including I'll just mention the events, right? Bethany and I are going to Nerdtacular in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is a smaller but awesome event for creatives and podcasters run by Scott Johnson over at the Frog Pants Network. We just confirmed that not too long ago. I'm really excited about that. And then after that, we have later in July, Bethany and I are putting together our media applications to go cover D23, and of course that's contingent upon whether or not we get accepted, but we're planning some really cool stuff to do over at D23 this summer in Anaheim. And then, of course, to say nothing of some of the staples, of course, Dragon Con coming up later this year, and then after that, New York Comic Con. And so that's just four events in like the next 6 months. So to say right now, because it actually frees up some time, there's going to be some pretty cool stuff happening, and that's how we're going to be really cranking out even more content as well. I'm going to hashtag content to steal from Steel. to borrow from one of the best Star Wars podcasters on the planet, Steel Saunders. Let's see. What else? He said... Oh, here we go. Mark, you were a part of this. Mm-hmm. What made us decide to start the Star Wars Report when we were still in high school? I'm going to let you answer that question. Because I feel like, well, you could answer it better because you know us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it's two-part, because like part of that question is what made you guys start the Bothan Report?
Yep.
You know, because I came on then at the end of that, and then we decided to do the Star Wars Report mainly because at that time, you know, I was trying to keep EU Cast alive. There were some issues there that it wasn't working out. You know, the site we were on at that time, it was a lot of people were transitioning and stuff, and it was just like, you know, things would be really smooth if we just did our own thing. And, you know, we were talking about it, and it was like, why don't we do our own thing? Like, no, this is great. You guys have a young point of view, and I'm always talking about Star Wars forever and ever. So let's do this, you know? And, yeah. You know, I'd had some experience running site, adminning sites, doing a podcast, you know, webcast or network basically with Solo Sound, helped William Devereaux set that up when he was doing it, which was really fun in and of itself. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and I think that's the really cool thing about it was setting it up, was getting to work with not just you guys, but some other amazing individuals that helped us along the way, friends of other websites and stuff. And even the ones that we were leaving were helping us along the way and stuff and helping us achieve the dream. And
yeah,
that's, I think that's the cool thing is, like, you know, a lot of people that are reaching out to us all the time. Hey, we're starting this new show, you know, and kudos for you. I mean, that's awesome. You know, and it's a great time to be in when you're in that we just launched or we're about to launch phase,
launch!
You know, that honeymoon phase.
Launch! All right, now. No, it's so true. In fact, in the short answer to the question is I couldn't stop. Once I got a taste for it, I filled in for EUcast a little bit, and I'd been listening to Star Wars podcast, I was just like, I have to do this. I couldn't not do it. I loved the idea of it. And that's why we started it back in high school, and it sucked back then. It was so bad. And it, you know what? We've marginally improved. We're slowly and marginally making a step by step.
For yourself, I've gotten worse.
Scott asks, I'll throw this one to you, Mark. What are you most excited about regarding the future of Star Wars besides more movies?
For me, I'm waiting for more of the characters that come from the books and the comics making their appearance onto the film, onto the TV show.
Yeah.
For me, those leaps, you know, as a fan of Legends that was left behind, those leaps are the ones that matter more at this point. And I don't care that they're original characters like Dr. Phasma. But I mean, I'm still in that camp of like, I would love to see character names like a Coran Horn come across, or, you know, like, you know, just different names like that as well. But that aspect of seeing that continuation work both directions. Usually we see it happen from the film and then they'll, you know, give us an adaptation, or the character will show up from the film in the book, like Snap Wexley. You know, we've got actually quite a bit on Snap in the canon books. You know, he's got a whole backstory. You can learn about how he went from a teenager into being a rebel pilot all through Chuck Wendig's trilogy.
Who would have thought?
But, yeah,
we'd learn about the backstory.
So it works that direction, but you very rarely
see
the other ones. So.
Yeah, no, true. I'll tell you what I'm excited about. And you know what? I didn't even think about it until I had reread this question, and because it didn't pop to my mind the first time, Scott, you sent it in. Which, by the way, Scott, one of our awesome patrons as well. So thank you for supporting us.
Patron,
it's the parks.
Rodeo man.
And it's not because of the parks. It's because I know there will be excuses to go back to the Disney parks with all my friends once the Star Wars parks open. So that's what I'm probably, second to the future movies, that's what I'm most excited about, is the concept of Star Wars Land, however it comes. Michael Morris.
I can't even wrap my head around that, because that's how new to my fandom having Disney owning this is. Like, Star Tours was it. Like, I loved going there and doing that. But the whole aspect of a Star Wars land, like, I'm still itching to get back to Disney. And once I go there, I'm like, I'm going to want to move. I'm going to be like, we got to live in Anaheim.
Michael Morris asks, never heard of that guy. No more Rebels, question mark? And I assume he means, what are our thoughts on the fact that there will be no more Rebels after season 4? I may be totally misreading that. And I mentioned it briefly on the show. I think it's definitely perfect timing, and that makes me really excited, because I think knowing it's the final season is what's going to make this an effective season. So I'm excited about that.
I'm excited too. I mean, we've got an exit strategy. That's something the Clone Wars didn't get to have. You know, a lot of Star Wars works in general, that tends to be, you know, the death knell for a lot of things. A lot of things start out really good and strong, and then boop, we just wrapped up real quick out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we know Filoni's working on other shows. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm ready for that next tidbit. Are we going to follow some of these characters? I mean, we know from the Lego Freemaker stuff that Hera survives past Return of the Jedi era. So is she going to show up?
Well, I did not know that. Yeah. I literally did not know that. Ladies and gentlemen, that puts the wraps on another episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Another one is in the can. Man, it passed all too quickly, folks. Thank you so much for listening this week. And we're going to give you some of the bona fides here as we part. But not before just taking a little peek, a little listen to the sweet dulcet tones of Cat Stevens, Father and Son.
The Han Solo credits. Settle down.
If you want, you can marry. Look at me. I am...
That's... from the Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which has nothing to do with today's episode other than I absolutely loved that movie, and now I want to do a podcast about that. I also kind of want to talk to... Maybe we'll do... Mark, when you get a chance to see it, we should do like a breakdown of it and just put it to the Patreon. Just like any random films that are kind of related to Star Wars that like Star Wars fans might like, maybe we'll add that. That'll be part of the big Patreon restructure that I'm working on right now. So, but yeah, stay tuned with us here. Thanks for listening as always. Share the podcast with your friends and family, unless your family doesn't like podcasts or Star Wars. But otherwise, share it with everybody you know. Make sure you can email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And we have some post-celebration email that I wanted to include in here from people who were like at the show and emailed us back, and I couldn't find it just now while we were recording, so I'm gonna hunt that down. Otherwise, hey, send us an email. We'll catch it for the next episode. StarWarsReport@gmail.com, Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport. Mark is online and on social media with the username IllogicalRogue2. Find that pretty much everywhere. And then, of course, my username across all the platforms is the Riley Guy, RILEY. Catch me on the old Insta, on the Twitter, on the Snapper, on the everything. I love to sing about the Moona and the Junas. That's going to put the wraps. I'm going to go watch Guardians of the Galaxy again tomorrow with my dad. I'm very much looking forward to it. Hey, it's appropriate with the song title, Father and Son. So, hey, we'll see you guys next week on the Star Wars Report podcast. May the Force be with you. And remember... many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Till next time, folks.
Time to make a change. Just sit down. Take it slowly. You're still young. That's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl. Settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me. I am old. But I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know. I have to go.
Thanks for writing Star Tours. Bye-bye.
That's a great song. That is, it is so perfectly used. Mark, you gotta go see the movie.
I gots to.
All right, let me stop the old recorder.